Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. For those of you tuning in from Israel, Shalom and Erev Tov. Bride of Christ Radio is committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. In future broadcasts, I'll be discussing the situation in the Middle East, attacks on Israel, how it affects the United States and the rest of the West, as well as suicide bombings and why they occur. I am a firm supporter of Israel myself and an advocate for the Jewish people. If you'd like more information on the conditions in the Middle East and where you can attend live events in your area, go to kufi.org, that's ChristiansUnitedForIsrael.org, and click on events in the upper right corner to view the calendar of local events in your area. I'm only a member of Kufi, and I'm not a spokesperson for the organization. However, I am committed to the Jewish people as much as Kufi, since they are a wonderful grassroots organization who's dedicated to educating the world and creating one voice for Israel. I support Kufi as well. In addition, I am personally here to minister to the masses of souls, whether they're in Israel, the United States, the nations of this world, who've been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me via email, you can write to talk@wbocradio.org. Or you can write to me at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. If you'd like to call into the broadcast today with questions or comments, the number is 515-602-9613. You can also join my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at WBOCradio.org. You can also like us on Facebook at BachRadio.org, where the podcasts are posted and immediately after the broadcast, and that's facebook.com/bocradio.org. Eventually, I'm going to change that to wbocradio.org if I could remember to do that when I get off the air. Stay tuned in over the next few months for in-depth studies from my latest book, Mystery of the Ketubah. These studies will include revealing the identity of the bride, that's you, getting to know our Jewish roots as Christians and understanding cultural divisions, ancient Jewish wedding traditions in Israel, which Jesus referred to throughout the scriptures. When we read the Word of God through the eyes of a bride, the mystery of the Word can be understood by anyone. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a theologian to decipher the Word of God when you've been equipped with the true identity of the church. You won't want to miss it. Maybe you or someone you know is seeking answers to questions about your salvation, or you've had doubt about the Word of God. Perhaps you're not sure God still cares about you, or you're wondering if He even exists at all. Then please stay tuned into this series. For an in-depth look into these questions, get a copy of my first book. It's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. I have given this book to lost souls all over the world, from prisons to nursing homes. It is full of these very questions which keep people from having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you think you're too good to go to hell or too bad to go to heaven, then I've got news for you. You're going to be disappointed when you arrive at your destination. Whether it's today, in an hour, right after this broadcast, or, 20 years from now, I'm telling you that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And you can't be bad enough to get to heaven if you repent and ask Him into your heart. No matter what kind of pact you made with the devil or how evil you think you are, God can save, and Jesus' blood can save us if we receive it and apply it to our sins. Now, today's a special day, September 24th. There's a very special man in my life who I want to give a shout out to. Today's his birthday, and that's my son, Gavin Powers. Praise God, I absolutely am in love with that boy. He is the salt of the earth. And when I asked God as in prayer as he was growing up, I prayed that he would have a tender heart and love the Lord, that he would bring someone to him, and that he would meet that special person in his life. I still pray that today. And I'm sure he'd be embarrassed right now for me saying all these things. But I want you to know that we have the power to pray over our children. Because even today, when people would say to me, you better enjoy all that sweetness from him while you can, because when he becomes a teenager, It's all going to go away. He's not going to be like that no more. Well, you know what? My boy's 20 years old today, and he's still just as sweet as he is now than he was when he was 10 years old. So happy birthday, Gavin Powers. Mama loves you. Up to this point, I've been sharing my testimony of salvation, how God speaks, and my calling as a woman into the ministry. Today, I'm going to continue with my testimony about the trip to Israel, which I wanted to share with you last week but ran out of time. If you'd like to be part of the discussion, again, give me a call at 515-602-9613. I can't constantly be taking questions just randomly, but I will, if you'll stay on the line, I'll try to get to you. But don't wait till the last minute to call like last week. I had a hard time trying to get in a phone call. The first person that calls, I'll give them a copy of my book. I just ordered a batch of my books. They have not been to the editor yet. I'll just let you know. So there's some things in there. I'm probably sure that they need to be fixed, whether they're typographic errors or what have you. So if you give me a call today and you have a question on the broadcast, then I will send you a copy of Mystery of the Ketubah. And the Ketubah is the marriage contract. It's a Jewish marriage contract. And it's what the Jews entered into on Mount Sinai when they entered into the covenant with them. And it's what we entered into when we entered into the new covenant that we call the New Testament. Like I said, I'm going to be taking phone calls at 515-602-9613 throughout the broadcast. And if I get interrupted and we start taking calls, that's fine. I don't mind. I'll just continue on next week. So again, I'm Deborah Powers. And before we get started, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a few minutes and talk about the only thing a person truly has in this world, and that is his word. I call it my soapbox because when you have your word and you speak those words, they're just not idle words. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So if we have the power through our words to speak salvation or speak life or death or salvation or the difference between going to hell, then you know that our words are powerful. And I'm talking about cursing yourself as well, saying, I'm never going to get that promotion. Or every time I get a little bit of extra money, I get a flat tire. There's nothing that drives me crazier than hearing somebody curse themselves, except for when they curse their children or they speak negative things over them. What is that boy stupid or something? No, you don't say that, especially in front of your children, because they get that in their minds and that's what they're thinking. Well, I must be stupid because my dad spoke those words over me, or my grandpa, or my mom, or my teacher. Folks, you have power in your words. So getting back on my soapbox, the reason I'm mentioning this is because when you give your word, you're supposed to keep it. If it's as simple as saying, I'll be there at 1 o'clock, then you need to be there at 1 o'clock. And I'm speaking to the youth of the next generation coming in. It's more than just yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and, you know, minding your manners at the table or when you're in front of other adults or your grandparents. It's being true to your word. And when you give somebody your word, that's the only thing that you have that proves your integrity. I'm bringing this up for a specific reason. I live on a farm. We have a fence that's over 60 years old, and we took a man at his word, and there's more than just this situation. We took a man at his word saying that he's going to be out at such and such a time, and he's going to come and put this fence up. He said, give me a call when you're ready, because we had to have some people come and excavate the property and take down some of these sucker trees that had overgrown the fence over all these years and just clear the line so that we can lay a new fence. So, of course, one thing has to be done before the other, and the people that, you know, we have to rely on are those people that give us our word or their word. So the people, they own this company. Their name's Push and Dig Excavation, I think it is. It's here in McMinnville, Tennessee. And they gave us their word. They'd come out, and they were there. They came, they cleared the property, and they did everything they said that they were going to do. They're wonderful, a couple men. It's a father and son business. And they came and they cleared off the entire fence line, over 1,500 feet, just on one side of the property. We're sitting here with all of the neighbor's cows now are over in our field. And our cows are locked up in the bottom area to keep them separate. The man was supposed to come right after, you know, we called him to put that fence up. And it's been 2 months. The fence still isn't up. He won't return our call. So I called him on my phone because he knew my husband's and he answered the phone. That tells me he's avoiding me. Why? Who knows? We don't know. He hasn't communicated with us. He hasn't told us if he's coming. We're going around. We're looking for people that can come and put up a fence. So I give a man a call. Can you come and put up a fence? Well, it'll be a couple weeks. Give me your husband's number and I'll get a hold of him tomorrow. And I tell him, I said, you know, it's very important that you keep your word. He's a younger man. And I said, because that's all you have is your word. Ma'am, I understand. He never called. Never called my husband. I have another man over here. He's supposed to be putting in. Well, you know what? I better stop at that. The point is, yes, I'm on my soapbox right now. Not only is it irritating, but you lose your integrity and your word. You might have your salvation when you leave this world. You might have it right now. My point is, the only thing that you truly have outside your salvation in this world is your word. So if you're young right now and you're listening to me, then I'm telling you, don't speak things in your life if you're not planning on doing it or you don't think you can. That's my soapbox. If you're just tuning in to the broadcast, I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and I am just now getting off my soapbox. If you'd like to call in with your comments or questions, I'll be taking calls at 515-602-9613. You can reach out to me at talk@wbocradio.org or write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. I left off last week talking about leaving my job for Israel, the prophetic word God gave me that would guide me through the transition. I read that to you, and it showed me what's to come, you know, after I left work in this new season that I was coming into, and obeying him rather than man. Just to refresh your memory, the reason I was going to Israel was to be baptized in the Jordan River, according to what the Lord told me on March 3rd, 2010. God did not tell me to go the day before. He did not tell me to go the day after. He specifically told me to go and be baptized in the Jordan River March 3rd and to be there at 3:30 p.m. I had no idea why. I just knew I was supposed to be there to be baptized on that specific day at that specific hour. 3 months before I left, I had a dream that a very well-known minister was at Yardanit baptizing his congregation. Yardanit is a beautiful garden on the side of the Jordan River down below where it comes out at the Sea of Galilee. And I had this dream that when we pulled up, and remember, I had never been to Yardanit, let alone going to Israel. It's my first time there. So I pull up. Now, this is in my dream. I pull up to Yardanit, and there's this minister's tour buses, I'll call them. They were just loaded full of people, and it had his name going down the side. I won't mention his name. I don't believe in promoting those I enjoy listening to, and I don't want to badmouth those who I don't agree with. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I don't have to agree with them, but I don't have to badmouth them either. So I love this pastor, as a matter of fact, but I won't mention his name. At least I'm going to try not to, but I don't really have a sensor on this mouth. So I pull up and there's all these tour buses there. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is so cool. I go inside and I walk into the garden and there's this this line of people and they're dressed in these white robes and they're going down to the river and this pastor standing in the river where he's baptizing them. And I see this whole picture in my mind that's I went down to the river to pray, studying about that cool, you know, and all these people are just going in, he's baptizing them. They're coming up and going out. I'd never seen anything like it except for in my mind's eye. And I had the choice of going down to there and getting baptized by him or going over to do as I had planned, which was going over to by myself. I walked past him, and this is, again, it's in my dream. And I walked past him, and we go into this other baptismal area where there's different pools, and they were numbered at the time. They're no longer numbered like this, but they were numbered. But back to the dream, I go past him, and then that's the end of the dream. I neither went down to him, and I didn't go and baptize in the area myself with my friend that I was with at the time, that where we were, what we were planning on doing originally, and that was baptizing each other. So next thing I know, we're on a plane to Israel. I left March 29th of 2010 so that we could get there on time. We spent the day going around the Sea of Galilee, and we get lost up in the mountains because when you're going around the Sea of Galilee, you should stay to the right. Well, we were yakking and carrying on and wasn't paying attention, and we just kept on going straight right up the mountain until we end up on the Syrian border. And all we see is all these tanks. They were probably doing exercises at the time, but in 2010, it's hard to say. I know that they were there protecting the border. And, of course, we freaked out. We turned around and just went back the same way because we knew exactly how long it was going to take us to get down that way rather than going completely around, which we probably really would have got even more lost than we were. But we did stop to jump out and take a beautiful picture of the Sea of Galilee in its entirety. So we come back down, and I'm almost late, and I start to panic and cry because God said to be there at 3:30 on March 3rd. And we had gotten lost, and I was running late, and we pulled in. I just began to pray because we had not been to this before, and I didn't know where to go. So I just began to pray, Lord, please help us get, you know, all this, everything that I've given up to be here at this moment, and now I'm going to be late. And we just come around this corner, and there's a sign. And it's not a sign from God. It's a sign that says, Yard and Eat. Of course, it was a sign from God. Praise ya, Lord, hallelujah. And we get in there, and we barely had time to put on anything. So what we did is we just threw on, oh, wait, I got to tell you the most important part. We pull up, and there's these tour buses with this minister's name on the side. And it said, well, I can't tell you his name. There's three or four tour buses just like in my dream. It was a prophetic dream. We walk in, and sure enough, they have all these people in line. It's 3:30. Remember, 3:30, March 3rd, 2010. And they will know exactly who it is that I'm talking about because I did something crazy. I'll continue on in a second and tell you that story. But my friend that I was with at the time, just absolutely, her jaw just dropped. She could not believe there's all these people in white robes, that he was even there, his tour buses, just like I told her, because I told her this dream right after I had it. And so all these people are going down to the river. They're being baptized by this man. And it was just a wonderful thing. But I had a choice to make at that time. I had a choice to make. That choice was that I could go down and be baptized by him, which is what I truly believe God intended for me to do. I truly believe that I was supposed to go down there and be baptized by him, but I decided to go on down to the other pool. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just some regrets that I have. I don't know. But I do know that God did confirm when I got baptized that I was in the right place at the right time. We just had a few minutes to even think about and even accept what just happened, which was that this man was there. So we get down to the water. We throw on with the clothes that we have, and it's March, remember. And we didn't even feel the water. It must have been freezing, but to be honest with you, I didn't feel a thing. And we get down to the water, and this lady volunteers to take some pictures. And we throw our gowns on, we go down to the water, and it's exactly 3 to 3:33. As we get down into the water, there's only a couple people standing around us because everybody's over there watching this big minister, this well-known minister, baptize his congregation. And so we're over here all by ourselves. this lady is standing up there with her husband. She offers to take some pictures, but there's another man, and he's standing up. He's not standing. He's sitting underneath this olive tree all by himself. And I don't know who he was there with or what he was even watching, because you couldn't see what was going on over on the other side. This well-known minister was. He was just sitting there. And he speaks to me and he says, come over to the other side where the water's deeper and baptize there. And I said, okay, thank you. So we go down to the water. We wait till 3:30. We baptize each other. And this lady's taking all the pictures she possibly can. And she, we come back out of the water. You know, there wasn't any great things that happened. We didn't feel the Holy Spirit fall down. We didn't start speaking in tongues or anything. But the one thing I'll say is that I was obedient to the Lord. I did what he told me to do at all costs. That's the point of this message. Regardless of what we think that we're holding on to, he wants to give us something so much better than what we already have. Most of that, it might not be material things, it might not be man. And what he wants to give us is our place in this world that he's called us into, and not what the world says we are. I remember when I was leaving, my boss told me that my CEO says, you were called to be a radiology director. And I thought to myself later, who are you to tell me what my calling is? You know, I know exactly what God's called me to do. I know who I am in Christ, and I know what he's called me to do and what he's done for me already. And I have confidence in that. Not to serve this world, because working in the hospital, I can tell you right now, has nothing to do with the patients or the sick people or ministering to them. It may be for an individual that went into medicine because they wanted to help people. But the big picture is all money. It's about the bottom line. Unless you work for a nonprofit organization or for the VA, and I got a lot of things I could say about that, but I won't get into it right now. My point is that when we came back out later on, we developed those pictures, and we looked down in the water in the pictures, and we could see that it was baptismal pool number 3. 3 represents God's divine perfection. He told me to go there on March 3rd. It was 7 years to the day that he brought me back into his fold. Showed me my church family. It was at 3:30 to 3:33 we got baptized. He was trying to perfect things is what he was doing. That's exactly what he was doing. He was perfecting us. He was perfecting his calling. And in just a few minutes, I'll tell you how he perfected his anointing, because it's absolutely amazing. We're looking at these pictures. We see we're in baptismal pool number 3. We see these white birds. There's 3 birds over my head when I'm being baptized. But most importantly, when I come up out of that water, that man was nowhere to be found. I don't know who he was or why he was sitting over there, what church he was affiliated with. And he definitely wasn't trying to get out of the sun, because it wasn't hot. So I don't know who this man was. I'm not going to venture to say he was an angel. Perhaps he was. I'm not going to rule it out either. All I know is he guided me into that water, into baptismal pool number 3. And it had nothing to do with my choosing. All I did was obey the Lord. I thought the greatest thing that was going to happen to me when I got to Israel was being baptized in the Jordan River, because I thought that that was the main purpose of why I was going. 2 weeks before I left for Israel, I went down to Mississippi to visit a pastor who was having a revival. And he had a special speaker there. And he was a prophet. Matter of fact, he died the very next month after this happened. It's the first and the last time I saw him on this side of heaven. And he comes over to me and he says, you think, now I don't know how he knew this. I can't possibly imagine how he would have known this. But he said, you think that the greatest thing that's going to happen to you when you go to Israel is being baptized in the Jordan, but the Lord has something even more special for you. And I thought, okay. He also spoke some other things over me that's private, that has to do with what other people have spoken over me. And I'm still waiting for some of this to manifest in the flesh, but just because I have not seen it yet does not mean it hasn't happened. It happens in God's timing. I don't care if it was 10 years from now that you heard a word. If it doesn't line up with your spirit, regardless of what they speak to you, you know it's not from the Lord. You got to test the spirits. And it says the prophets are accountable to the prophets. And so he spoke that word over me and said that something greater was going to happen. Well, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and a pastor friend of mine called and woke us up. He didn't realize what time it was in Israel, but we woke up, and once we got woke up, there was no going back. We had to get up and get ready and leave out of there. Not to mention the fact I was going to be driving through the East Bank, two young women driving through the East Bank. I would rather go through at night. If you think that's crazy, it's not, because it's dark. They can't look in the car and they can't see you. They're not up and about and doing things, especially 4 o'clock in the morning. And I figured if I drove like a maniac on this road, I could get through it in 1 hour, which I normally do pass through the West Bank in about an hour. And it's my favorite time to travel is at night, to go through there, because I do not want to go all the way around to go the opposite direction and go through up the Mediterranean coast, just to come back through past Jerusalem, just to get back on the same road that I was on. It's an extra 45 minutes to an hour, I believe. I don't know. I've never done it. I always go the opposite direction. I go straight up right where they tell you not to go. The GPS is having a fit. Doesn't want to take me through there, but I go anyway, and it's not really that big of a deal. And we were headed toward the Dead Sea, and I was going to this place called En Gedi, and it's one of the first places that you can go to, because there's other places called Imbokek, and it's more of a resort area where you can stay in these really expensive hotels, and there's shopping and things. And I've gone there too, and I really enjoy it. But this time, all I wanted to do was get to the spa is what it was. And they have the saltwater pools in there, and it's just really a beautiful place. But the point was for me is that I was just going to go because my friend that was with me, she was used to getting massages on a regular basis. Me, on the other hand, I never had that kind of thought pattern to just go get a massage. So since it was my first one, I told him that I wanted a woman. The woman that I got, her name was Judith. And she's, giving me this massage. It's kind of strange, somebody rubbing on my body and me laying there in a towel, but I was covered up, but it was still a little strange. And I was a little apprehensive about some of the things, which was the fact that I had just done my hair. I didn't want grease in it. I have sensitive skin to oil, so I did not want oil on my face. And I know all this sounds silly, but I'm just being honest with you and sharing you normal things that people think about. So she started to get close to my neck, and I didn't want her to touch my face or my hair. And as she went a little bit higher toward my neck, I opened my mouth to say, don't, don't do that. I didn't want my face to get oily. And when I did, instead, when I opened my mouth and I went, the Lord said, don't, she's anointing you with oil. And I laid there taking it all in, because immediately the very first thing she did after the Lord spoke was she immediately began to rub this oil through my hair with all of her fingers, just over and over and over again. She began to rub this oil through my hair. She rubbed it all over my neck, behind my neck, my ears, inside my ears, my nose, my eyelids, my lips. She did not miss one single spot on my head. And she continually rubbed my head with oil. As I laid there thinking, it was just beyond my comprehension, because it's like, does God still anoint those, that he calls? I know the word of God tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Right? That's Romans 8:28. I know that all things work together. I had no idea what was going on, but I just laid there kind of in disbelief, to be honest with you, because I didn't know what to make of it. When I began to write my first book, I told you a little bit several weeks ago about the reason I was writing the book was to minister to the people. I wanted to minister to the masses of people who had all these misconceptions in their mind about salvation, about heaven and hell, and, you know, our loved ones being angels, and all these different types of teachings that fall under the spirit of error. I wanted to write this book, and as I was studying about the anointing, the Lord showed me that he would take the wineskins and they would dip them in water to soften them and then rub them with oil. The word anoint means to rub with oil. Okay, it means to rub. And not only was God calling me out, but he was also calling me in and he was ordaining me. He anointed me. He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit and that your fruit shall remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that shall he give. The other thing was, when I got back to Jerusalem that night, I had a message on in my email. It was a phone call I had received. And I listened to it. It was a friend of mine from the hospital saying, look, I just wanted to let you know that they've locked you out of the computers and they've changed the lock on your door. Well, at first, you know, I mean, it's not like I didn't see it coming a year before. I shared with you last week how when the Lord spoke to me, when he called me to Israel, he says, when you go to Israel, you won't have a job when you get back. Well, I understood that. But when it actually came time to face it, it was a little hard to swallow. It's like, okay, that door's closed. It's like, okay, now what do you do? It's like, it's over. You did it. You got baptized, and God did and fulfilled that prophetic word from that man who said, you thought the greatest thing that ever was going to happen to you in Israel was being baptized in the Jordan River, but God's got something even bigger in store for you, and it was the anointing. I learned that through writing that first book, and I had studied the scriptures regarding the anointing, that when God moves you out of one position into another, you never go back. He says, anyone put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He called me out of this world, out of the corporate world, out of this world that wanted to line the pockets of these big corporations. And he said, I have called you into full-time ministry. I've called you to be a vessel dedicated to me. Now, when I left my job, I'm telling you, it wasn't just walking away from a job. It was walking away from a career. It was walking away from stability. It was walking away from comfort. It was walking away from, who knows, maybe my husband would have been angry and divorced me. Who leaves a $7,000 job a year? Who walks away from that? Who walks away from the security of being able to pay for your home that God supposedly gave you? If he gave this to you, why would he do this? Well, you know what? I'm still in the same home today. I still don't have that job, and God is still sustaining me because he's the one that's fed me in the wilderness. He's the one that's taken care of me, and he'll do it for you as well. That's the point. If we'll let go of what we think that we have, our comforts and our securities, what we think is comfort, what we think is security, if we're willing to let go of that, we're willing to accept that God can do anything and he can sustain us. So I didn't have a job. I'm standing there in the middle of the Allenby. Shout out to Nir and Nitsan and Dahlia. I love this place. It's a wonderful little place to stay. If you want to go to Israel, you don't have to be on a big tour bus to go to Israel, and you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. Right now, if you're just tuning in, you can call in to 515-602-9613. I'll be taking some phone calls, or you can reach out to me with your questions or comments at talk@wbocradio.org or write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37110. Give us a shout out at facebook.com/bocradio.org. I took my Bible and I walked back into my room and I said, all right, Lord, you called me to Israel. You said in 3 days you're going to go. It was in, by the way, Joshua 1:11. 3 days you're going to go. cross this Jordan. He said, tell the people, prepare their victuals, because in 3 days you're going to go cross the Jordan and receive the land that I have promised you. And that's exactly what I did. That's the calling that he gave me. I went to Israel. I was baptized. He anointed me. And here I am. I said, all right, Lord, I don't know what you're planning on doing, but you got to show me something. So I picked up right where I left off before. And I continue to read. And in Joshua 1:13, he says, remember what God had promised you on the other side. He said to give you rest and to give you this land. And that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. He gave me rest and he gave me the land. And right now, what you see is what God's call. What you're listening to right now is the calling of the Lord. Now, one more thing before I take your calls. I want to get this in. When the Lord called me out, he anointed me with oil. But when I get into the teachings of the ketubah and I begin to explain about what the mikvah is and the anointing and what the bridesmaids do during the time that the bridegroom comes and gets the bride, all of that is even more powerful in this last book that I just wrote. And it explains the anointing and it explains the baptism and explains what happens when the groom comes to get her bride. All right, so I'm going to take this call. Hello, this is Deborah Powers. You're on the air with Bride of Christ Radio. What is your name and where are you calling from? Can you hear me? All right, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Can you hear me? This is Deborah Powers with Bride of Christ Radio. You're on the air, and we're talking about the calling of God and his anointing.
Yes, I was enjoying that. This is Dan from Braden. I just wanted to encourage you, sister, and I wanted to tell you not to feel bad that you didn't get baptized the way you thought you should, because when Jesus comes, he can baptize you.
Well, praise God. That's right. And you know that we are baptized, because the baptism is actually the mikvah. And he says that Jesus is the mikvah of Israel, not the hope of Israel, the way that it's translated. So if you look that up, you'll see the scripture. It says that he is the hope of Israel. You look up that word hope, and it actually means mikvah. And so when you see the water coming out of Jesus' side, and by the way, Dan, I remember you calling in before. Thank you for calling me again. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your encouragement. But when we see the water come out of Jesus' side, and we see the blood was the sacrifice, but the water was the mikvah. I'm going to get into that teaching further here in the next month or so and really get in depth to who we are as the bride of Christ, all the different parables and the meanings behind Jesus's speech and the things that he had said. Do you have any questions for me today?
Yeah, I want to say one more thing. If you had somebody offer you $1 million, would you turn it down? You probably wouldn't turn it down, but if you turned it down for $1 billion, that would be like getting baptized by Jesus himself. You know what I mean?
Well, what's the point in him giving me the money anyway? Why would he want to give it to me?
Just to bless you. If somebody wanted to bless you with $1 million, like the baptism with that guy where he was like, oh, this is amazing, I want to be baptized, I should have did it, right? But when the Lord comes, it's well worth it to be baptized by himself, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, because he does baptize in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But, you know, the story actually isn't over yet. I just really didn't get into the details, because the Lord did call me back to Israel on September 10th, and he told me again, and this is a wonderful part of the testimony, but he says on September 10th, go back to Israel, and it was in 2014, and I thought if I was going to choose a date to go back to Israel to be baptized, it would not have been September 10th of 2014. I would have waited till the five-year anniversary, and I'd have gone again on March 3rd, and so I went ahead and bought my ticket. And the most amazing thing is that when I took all my money out of the bank, I'm not a rich person. Matter of fact, I walked away from I was making $77,777, and that was my discharge paper from where I worked at the hospital. That's the what the paper said, exactly how much I made. And seven represents God's divine completion. What he was doing, he was completing what he did in this world. And he was bringing me into what he had in store for me. He says, you're never going back to the world again. And I already knew that. And he confirmed that in the anointing. Because when David and Elijah, when they were anointed with oil, they never went back to the sheep. Elisha, he never, when Elijah anointed him, he never went back to the plow. Matter of fact, he boiled the ox, you know, with their yoke. And so that was done. And God was calling me out of one place into another. But I went back on September 10th. Just like the Lord said, and I didn't have any money. I only had enough. Matter of fact, I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Israel, you're going to have to pay for this trip because I don't know where I'm going to get it. The next, that was on a Thursday. By Tuesday, I had all the money I needed for that trip and the airplane ticket paid for. I get to Israel. It's on the Sabbath. It's actually on Friday right before the sun sets, which the sun sets at a certain time, and that's when the Sabbath starts. It's not just all day Saturday or anything. It's the end of Friday night when the sun sets, because in the Word of God at the beginning, in Genesis, he says that the day and the night, when he says it's the first and the second day, you know how he talks about that, Dan. What he did was say, when the sun sets, this is the next day. So what they do is they blow their shofar, and that brings in the Sabbath. So it was September 10th, going back to this, and I get to Israel. I'm trying to get, you know, a rental car. I can't rent a car. I realize that you got to have so much money down on your car to secure it for insurance purposes, and then you could pay cash if you want, but they still want you to give them a credit card, and I didn't have credit cards. I just didn't do credit cards, and I thought, how in the world? I got all the way here. He tells me to be you know, right like he did before on March 3rd, 2010, September 10th of 2014, he says, go back to the Jordan. So on the third day, now this is the most amazing part, Dan, of this story, because you know God's in it when he makes a way where there did not seem to be a way before.
That's
and
right, yeah.
There's this Jewish woman. She had just met me on Saturday, all right? On Monday, she had worked, by the way, she worked at this place. She says, don't worry about how you're going to get there. I've got a plan. I got something. If it'll work out, I just don't want to say it yet, but I'm going to try to do this. So we go down on Monday to the rental company, and I'm thinking she's going to try to rent a car and put my name on it, and I could give her the cash. No. Now, remember, she's known me for Saturday. She knew me Sunday, and this was Monday morning. She literally buys a car right there from the rental company. She buys the car. She hands me the keys. And I know her name today. She'll testify of this. Her name is Nitzan Herzog. And she's a Jew. And she was born and raised in Israel. And she is a wonderful, wonderful woman. She hands me the keys to this car.
Yeah.
Nitzan. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's one. It sounds like also it's spelled differently, but one of the months, the Hebrew on the Hebrew calendar. So she hands me the keys to this car, and says you have it for 2 days. Her insurance company would allow. She already checked with the insurance company. They'd let her drive it for 2 days. And this ain't even the best part of the story. It is a great part of the story, but I could testify all day long about the goodness of the Lord and the things that He does, because He's absolutely magnificent. And so,
yes.
I she gets. Car, she says, you've got it for 2 days. I drive to, but I'm late. I didn't get there at 3:30. It's about 2.5-3 hours away unless you get lost. I decided to try to take a back road. Don't ever take a back road in Israel. That's all I got to say, especially when the West Bank is on one side. It was during the day. I didn't want to drive through the West Bank, so I decided to take the way I didn't normally go, which is down through the Mediterranean or up to the Mediterranean. So I get there. It's about 4 o'clock. I'm already heartbroken, but even worse, I get there and the man was not, I mean, let me back up. I get there and the man that was there on March 3rd of 2010 was in the Jordan River again, baptizing.
Oh.
What's the chances of that happening? Only God could have known when, you know, this man that was from this very well-known ministry, the man that I didn't go over and get baptized by. You see, God has a plan for us. And yes, the Holy Spirit baptizes us. And yes, he's the one. He is the mikvah of Israel. But the most amazing thing is the plans that he has for us. God is just, he's just so amazing and in awe. If we stand there and worry, you know, and just become overwhelmed with the things that he does, instead, we should be expecting these things to happen on a regular basis. He calls us according. God appoints those, and he does everything for us. He watches over us for those he has called according to his purpose. I absolutely love that scripture. And all things work together for good to them that love God.
I love
yes, to them who are called according to his purpose. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this man is not baptizing, but his son is baptizing. His son is baptizing instead, because this man just had surgery on his knees. But he's standing in the, or he's sitting in the Jordan River next to his wife. And it wasn't 3:30. 3:30 had passed. What they were still doing, sitting down there all by themselves, was they were baptizing stragglers, those people that still wanted to be baptized. So they were making themselves available. And I went down there and I was able to just talk to him. And I said, well, I'm really disappointed that you're not down here baptizing. Do you think I should still go into the water? And he said, absolutely. So I go into the water, and all of a sudden, the sun just begins to shine down on this walkway. It had changed a lot in the last 5 years since I had been in 2010. And the doors had just opened up. The sun was shining down. I walked over, and it was the first time that I had ever felt suspended between heaven and earth. And I could see the light just shining down through the water and the warmth on my face. The Holy Spirit fell on me. I got up out of the water. I began to cry, and I just could not stop crying. They gave me a towel, and they said, here, take another towel. And I'm over there sitting, and I'm crying. And the pastor's wife tells one of the ladies that had come down that was helping, she said, go over and find out who that girl is, because she has the anointing all over her. So the girl comes over, but the anointing was so thick I couldn't even speak. I was just like, and just crying. And finally I said, the reason I'm crying is because I got my shoes wet. And she looks down, and I'm barefoot. And we both just start laughing. I was just teasing, but there's nothing else that I could say. I mean, what can you say? It's like God was so good. I felt like Peter and James and John, who was on top of the Mount of Configuration, when it says that, you know, Peter didn't know what to say. And he says, here, I'll build you a tabernacle for you, Moses and Elijah. But it was one of those moments where stupid things come out of your mouth. So anyway, God still does minister to us today. He still guides us. And one of the most awesome things is that he still anoints us today, Dan. You know, he still anoints us today. I'm really glad that you called in. I had this opportunity to speak with you. Did you have any questions about today's broadcast, about what our discussion was? What we were talking about, if you're just tuning in, is we're talking about, does God still anoint people today? If you'd like to call in with your comments or questions, we have about 10 more minutes. You could call in at 515-602-9613. Dan, did you have any more questions for me?
No, I mean, you're such a blessing, and you got such a beautiful testimony. I just really enjoy listening to your voice on the radio, and I just wanted to touch base with you, and that's about it. I'll enjoy listening.
All right, Dan, well, I'm going to send you a copy of my book when they come in. It's the very first copy that I'll be giving out. I'll sign it. I've got your phone number right here. Is this the number I can call you back to get your address?
Sure. Give me a call when the show's over, anytime.
All right. Sounds good. You have a blessed day. Thanks for calling in. All right. So we're just about to wrap up, but I do want to make my point about the reason I was giving this testimony. And I'm glad I got to ask that, and that Dan did ask that question, because I wanted to finish talking about what God does. And if we have regrets and there's things that we feel that we should have done, which we didn't, God is merciful. I don't care what it is. If you had a chance, an opportunity to go to the altar and give your life to the Lord. That's not the last time. You don't have to wait till you're in the church or the next time Sunday, Easter Sunday comes around. You can go to the altar right where your knees are. You get down on your knees, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and for him to come into your heart. If you believe it inside your heart, then, you know, and you confess it with your mouth, then you'll receive salvation. But if you deny him before man, then he'll deny you before his Father. I want you to know that God does still anoint his chosen vessels for service today. We're not meant to go back to the plow. We're not meant to go back to the sheep. We're not meant to go back to the hospital. And I was called, appointed, and anointed to minister to you. I love you. I love the masses, and I love people. You have to love people. You have to love them to minister to them. It's not a job, people. It's not a 9-to-5. It's 24/7, 365 days a year that you have to love people unconditionally all the time, even when you're at Walmart checking out and the person's had a bad day and they're being nasty to you and all you see is this nasty person. What you need to say is, you know, you don't have to worry about whatever's going on in your life. The Lord loves you. And if you hand that over to him, he'll take it. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for those masses of people out there that don't have a shepherd. I want to pray for all those people out there that have not been led of the Lord, that's been misguided, and the shepherd that you've decided to put yourself under or the voice that you decided to follow has led you astray. The other sheep have grown horns and have chased you right out of the congregation. I'm here to pray for the peace of Israel and those people that need salvation, those people that need to give their heart to the Lord. That's who I'm here to pray for. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that everyone within the sound of my voice will know that you are the Messiah, that you are the mikvah of Israel. We love you, Lord, and we exalt you. We lift your name on high, Father. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We love you for what we haven't gotten, the request that we've asked for, because we ask amiss. I praise you, Father, because right now you are the only source in my life, and without you, I have nothing and I am nothing. The things that I have are not and they cannot be touched by flesh and blood. They can't be handled, and they're not tangible with your hands. What I have is the peace that surpasses all understanding and the joy of the Lord that no one will understand until they meet you, until they truly understand what it is to be able to hand their burdens over to you. I pray, Father, for all those out there that are wounded and sick, those who don't have a shepherd, those who are laying in the bed and they're paralyzed and they don't see an answer to their problems. They don't see that you are the healing mikvah. Father, I pray that you'll touch those people with cancer and diabetes, that you'll heal their bodies. I speak against the cancer, the paralysis, the diabetes. I speak against that chronic pain, the headaches, all those things that keep us, our minds all tied up and thinking about rather than keep our minds on you. I speak against these things with the authority and the power in Jesus' name. I have all power and authority in the name of Jesus. I walk in that power and authority every day, and I speak against the enemy in the name of Jesus that he can't have me or my family or anybody within the sound of my voice. I bind the enemy and I cast him out in the name of Jesus. Almighty Father, I thank you so much, Father, for answering my prayers and hearing my voice, hearing my plea and my petition as I intercede for these people. I pray, Lord, that you will touch the masses and that you will continue to move upon them. I pray, Lord, that you will stretch forth your hand, for we know that it has no limits, that you will reach across the seas, that you'll reach across the mountains. I pray, Father, that you will touch them in the name of Jesus. I love you, Father, and I thank you for these things, and I pray with the power and authority that Jesus has given me in his name. Amen. I'm going to take one more caller. And actually, you know, I don't think I have time for another caller. We only have 5 more minutes. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hold off on that until Wednesday. I'll be back on the air. And if God willing, I will be discussing helpers, being a helper. It's an amazing thing. I won't get into it right now, but I want to thank you for listening. Remember to tune in for future broadcasts. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter by going to blogtalkradio.com/WBOC so you won't miss any upcoming broadcasts. And don't forget to tune in to the upcoming series on Mystery of the Ketubah. I can be reached at talk@WBOCradio.org or write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee 37111. Just to give you a little bit of insight on what's going to be coming up in the following shows, which is The Mystery of the Ketubah, and my book is released. It could be even purchased right now at the Book Patch, thebookpatch.com. You'll have to look me up under my name, under author, Deborah Powers, and you'll see my books listed there. You can also get a copy of my audio book. It's on iTunes. It's on audible.com. You can get my book through Kindle. And let's see, what's the other one? Kindle. And I don't know, but my book's out there and you can get it, okay? So also in the upcoming shows, when I begin to talk about the mystery of the Ketubah, we're going to be revealing the identity of the bride, which is you, getting to understand who you are as the bride, why Jesus is coming back for us, getting to know our Jewish roots as Christians, and understanding cultural divisions and ancient Jewish wedding traditions in Israel. Now, the reason I'm going to talk about these things and why they're important to you is because as the bride of Christ, we have a Jewish bridegroom, okay? So if our Jewish bridegroom is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, then we obviously need to know who he is. We also need to know who we are based on the references and all the idioms that Jesus speaks of throughout the New Testament. We have to know what the New Testament is, which is the New Covenant. We have to know what the Old Covenant is. We have to know why we don't replace Israel. We have to know why he's come back for all of us, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're a Muslim. It doesn't matter. He's coming back for whoever will receive him. But I want you to understand why he had to die for us. I want to explain to you in the terms of Judaism. In the Hebrew language, there's many things that we don't understand because of the misinterpretations. I want you to understand that. I want you to get a copy of my book, Mystery of the Ketubah. I do apologize if my website is down right now. I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this later on, throughout the months or the years, and you look back on this, my website's going to be just fine. But it is a tedious progress getting this thing finished and to try to build it properly so that I will get everything out there to you. But you do have my email address. If you have any questions, you want to get a copy of my books, if you want a ministering tool, I know people push their books all the time. I can't stand when you go to a big woman's conference or something, and the very first thing they do is spend 30 minutes up there selling their jewelry or their precious oil that they've prayed over or their books. All right, I'm not trying to do that. What I want to do is get this tool in your hand. And I'm really excited to be giving Dan a copy of the book, because after he reads it, then I'm excited to hear what he has to say. I bet you he's going to have a lot of questions that's coming in, and hopefully you will too. So again, this has been Deborah Powers with Bride of Christ Ministries, aka WBOC Radio. And remember, you are the Bride of Christ. God bless you.